It is April 22nd, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. And this is your AEW Dynamite and Being the Elite 200 review here on the official YouTube channel for the Solemn Monster Sounds Off. Like this video, hit that subscribe button, and super chats are open for those who wish to support the show and get shouted out during the stream. There is a brand new, I should point out, for those who may be interested, there is a brand new $30 and above donation. I call it the Hulkamania Monster Super Chat. When I take those Hulk Hogan vitamins, brother, I lose my mind, as I am doing here under quarantine. Now you can see it for 30 bucks or more. I'm fortunate enough to have people supporting the show for more than that most weeks. I don't know why they do it, but they do. So I figured the least I could do is have a special super chat for those people. You could also vote in the AEW and NXT polls on Twitter right now, at Solemonster. Thumbs up, thumbs down. I will flash the results later on in the show. I am going to get to Dynamite here in a second. A show that I thought was, you know, on the whole, it was good. I have to say, I haven't been overly impressed by Dynamite these last 2 weeks. Yeah, the shows have been fine. You know, they're forwarding the matches in the TNT title tournament. I do like the fact that we are seeing more video packages on people. We saw one tonight for Scorpio Sky. You know, we had Taz dissecting Kenny Omega's Snapdragon. I like little features like that. I appreciate that. But there's just a certain excitement to the shows, I think, that's been missing the last 2 weeks. But we'll get into all that. We're getting the Super Chat party started early, I see. Brian Becerra with the 20 bucks earlier, before the stream even started. So I want to shout him out and say thank you to him. And Crash for the 2 bucks. What I want to do here first, before we get into Dynamite, I want to talk about Being the Elite. Being the Elite, the big YouTube show from the Young Bucks. Been going on now for a while. And they just had their 200th episode. And this was a big 200th episode because on episode 199, Nick Jackson, who in storyline has been recovering from an injury at the hands of the Inner Circle, had his first match. He was part of the what they called Under the Limit Battle Royal. He won the Battle Royal, and as a result of winning that Battle Royal, he earned the right to challenge whoever he wanted to a match. He elected to choose his brother, Matt. So he challenged his brother Matt to a match on episode 200. They wanted to do something special. And so I watched the match. It's about a 15-minute match. And this match took place from the Jackson Family Compound in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The home of Nick Jackson. This was Nick Jackson's home. So naturally, the first move of the match was a dive by Nick Jackson down onto his brother, onto the tennis court. Got a very nice home. I must say, he's got a very nice home. I must compliment his home. So they brawl all over the place. They ended up brawling. They were in a golf cart. Nick was driving. They're literally brawling in the golf cart. Nick did not realize at first that the golf cart was in reverse. So he almost killed the referee hanging onto the back of the golf cart. So they brawled inside Nick's garage gym for a little bit. They moved to Nick's backyard. A very nice backyard. A very nice backyard. You got an in-ground pool. Those super kicks must pay well. So we see Nick's kids watching Daddy beat the hell out of Uncle Matt through the window. So over comes Mom to pull down the blinds. Matt hit 5 consecutive Northern Lights suplexes to his brother on the grass. There was a spot where Nick dove off of the patio roof down through onto his brother, who was laid out across the table. They did show some highlights during Dynamite tonight. They didn't show the whole thing. They just kind of gave you a taste. What's up, Oscar, in the chat? I see you. I spy you, Oscar. What's going on, dude? So anyway, they showed some highlights, but this was the full match here. So he comes crashing down onto his brother, who was laid out across a table. And then comes one of the more humorous parts of the match. Nick Jackson tried to drown his brother Matt in the pool. Now, I've tried that before myself. Fortunately, my brother can hold his breath for a very long time, so it wasn't very effective. Young Bucks did Young Bucks stuff here, as you would expect. A lot of super kicks. Matt gave Nick a destroyer off the diving board into the pool. Then they went the way of the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse at WrestleMania. Matt ends up in some kind of parallel dimension. He wakes up. He's like, where am I? He's looking around. He looks down at himself. He's all dressed up as Marty Jannetty. And next to him is Nick Jackson wearing a leather jacket. He's dressed up as Shawn Michaels on the barber shop. They even had an actual barber pole. Had the barber pole, had a mock window to recreate the Shawn Michaels throwing Marty Jannetty through the window incident. So this busted Matt open. Then he wakes up and he finds himself on a wooden roof deck. I guess this must be Outback. So he's on a roof deck. I did appreciate the focus on Matt's back. Matt Jackson's been selling a back injury for what feels like years now. You know, and Nick promised coming into this match, he was going to go after his brother's back. And that's exactly what he did. You see? Psychology. Psychology in a Young Bucks match. Never say that the Young Bucks don't have psychology in their matches, because we saw it here. They're working over a body part. So Matt gives Nick a tombstone, pulls out his old thumbtack boot from many years ago, puts it on, super kicks Nick. Nick is magically busted open. Matt says, I'm sorry, I love you. Another super kick. Knocks him down onto a table below. And Matt finished him off with a diving elbow. And Matt Jackson, lower back injury and all, is your winner of the big brotherly battle on Being the Elite 200. You know, they played it for laughs in certain parts. Otherwise, it was Young Bucks doing Young Bucks shit. So I think it's one of those things that you either really liked or you really hated. I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool. I enjoyed it. So anyway, I wanted to give you your quick review there for Being the Elite 200. I know, as Jackie Babb says in the chat, no way, they did super kicks? Yeah, no. I know it's hard to believe. The Young Bucks pulled off some super kicks in their matches. Names 22, thank you for the super chat. Doing his best Jimmy Snuka impersonation. Brudda, I don't know where I am, brudda. Is Richard Nixon still president, brudda? Thank you, Names. Prince Walker with the $10 Russo on a pole says, I like how Dynamite is using video packages before each match to both educate about the wrestler and fill in time. Great show. And Chewy Gooey, thank you for the $3, says, I thought I was watching Kevin Dunn eating. Oh, I didn't say anything. I just said Kevin was enjoying his lunch. That is the new $25 super chat. If you look down below in the description, I didn't say Kevin Dunn. I just said Kevin. That's the new Kevin having lunch. Kevin having pizza super chat. You said Kevin Dunn. I never said anything about Kevin Dunn. So Dynamite this week. Dynamite opened with a Cody video. He was sitting in his gaming chair in front of a bunch of monitors, like a little control center of sorts. Looked more like the Batcave to me. I guess Cody is Batman. Cody is Batman. How about that? Oh, look at this! Look at this! The first Solid Monster Hulkamania Super Chat. Look at that. Look at that, brother. Look at this. This is ridiculous. But thank you, Jason Nibs, for the $45. Look at that. Popping the cherry of the new Solid Monster Hulkamania Super Chat. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. So yes, Cody is Batman. He does a nice little introduction for the show. He's running through all the participants in the TNT title tournament and his own desire to win the championship. 32 years, he says, of history on the Turner Networks. Complacency is a dirty word in wrestling, but an ally of top guys here to collect paychecks. Says, thankfully, none of these participants fit that criteria. They have will, they have desire, but who has enough to win? I thought this was cool. I thought this was a very well done introduction. We had Tony Schiavone and Chris Jericho back on the call for the show. They run down the entire card. We open with Darby Allin against Sammy Guevara, TNT title tournament match. I thought their last match of the Revolution pay-per-view back in February was awesome. I knew this wouldn't quite be the same. You know, I mean, no crowd. Just a very different atmosphere. Sammy does not waste any time. Doesn't even let Darby get into the ring. Dives out onto him on the floor. So Sammy grabs a small blue ladder from underneath the ring. He creates a ladder bridge from the ring to the railing. Lays Darby across it, climbs up to the top rope, and Sammy Guevara, the crazy SOB that he is, does a full-on splash onto the ladder. The ladder, not only does the ladder not break, the ladder doesn't give an inch. Sammy bounced, and if Sammy bounced, how do you think Darby felt? They both come, falling, crashing down onto the floor. That looked like it sucked. Ouch. That was crazy. So back inside, they fight up top. Darby pulls off Sammy's boot, goes after the ankle. So Sammy had to work with one boot on for the rest of the match. Darby got his nose busted open in here somewhere. He had Sammy in a heel hook. Darby goes for a tope suicida, or a lope, as Chris Jericho called it. You know, Darby does it through the middle rope and the bottom rope. So Jericho called it a lope. Only Jericho could get away with that. And unfortunately, he misses Sammy and crashes right into the barricade. Sammy rolls him back inside, goes up top, hits the 630, kind of. I mean, he went for it. He missed most of it. And Darby grabs the bottom rope on the pin attempt at the very last second. So Darby gets the win in the end here, hits the Last Supper, which is that leg lock roll up. That's the best way I can describe it. It's like a leg lock roll up, gets the pin. Darby Allin's moving on to the next round. He will face Cody. I thought this was good. This was not Revolution good, but it was good nonetheless. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $10. Said, I get these shows are taped with a limited roster, but I do miss seeing MJF, Young Bucks, Hangman Pack, Lucha Bros on TV. Yeah, it's not the same. That's the thing. There's a certain vibe to these shows that just, and I'm talking WWE, AEW, there's just a certain vibe that you cannot replicate. It's just missing. It's not their fault, but it's missing. And the shows are not going to be as good. I think AEW has done a better job than WWE of mastering the empty arena format. They do a better job with it. But look, the reality is both shows, they're not going to be the same for a very long time. None of these shows, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, AEW, it's not going to be the same for a long time. Just going to have to live with it. Cuba the Goat, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. We got a broken Matt Hardy promo from the Hardy compound. Matt's talking about the challenge he laid out to Chris Jericho to come on down to the Hardy compound to do battle. Jericho has not responded. All he saw, Matt says, is the bubbly bunch. And Sammy called him out, the false Spanish god. So instead, he invites Sammy Guevara. He invites Sammy Guevara to fight Jericho's battle for him. Le Hole of the Ass doesn't know how to handle his broken brilliance, he says. So Matt turns into regular Matt Hardy. The Matt Hardy who will not die. Talks about his friendship, his relationship over the years with Jericho. Says, the Elite, they're good friends of mine. Kenny Omega, I've got great respect for. Says, send Sammy if you want. Says, I'm going to kick every ass in the Inner Circle until I get to Chris Jericho. I thought the promo was regular Matt was better than the promo was broken Matt. Not for nothing. I mean, I like broken Matt and all. But promo-wise, I thought regular Matt was spot on here. Joe Olivo. What's going on, Joe? Thank you for the $5. Says Brody Lee will eat Marco's stunt next week for supper. Kenny Omega against Allen Angels from the independent scene, we are told, in the state of Georgia. Chris Jericho did call him Allen Eagles at one point. Jericho and Shivani, they put over the Wrestle Kingdom match. They were talking about Wrestle Kingdom, the match with Jericho and Omega from the Tokyo Dome. And Jericho pointed out that, speaking of Georgia, Kenny Omega spent time in Georgia in Deep South Wrestling. We have Deep South Wrestling reference here. It says he was in Deep South when he was in developmental. It says, of course, they didn't know how to use him properly. And now here he is, one of the best in the world today. So here, let me just say this. I know that Kenny Omega is all about making the future because he's been criticized. He's been criticized by a lot of AEW fans. Where is the Kenny Omega that we saw in New Japan? We want that Kenny Omega. We want the Kenny Omega that we saw in there with Okada and Jericho, right? And Tanahashi and all these different people. Ibushi. Where has he been? And people feel as if he's intentionally kind of lowering himself. He's lowering his stock. He's lowering his name value. And Jericho and Omega has responded to this before. He said, look, you know, I had my career in New Japan. Now it's about the future. Now it's about making new stars. I disagree. I'm not saying you don't want to make new stars. But Kenny Omega had name value coming in. You don't want to waste that name value. This is a new upstart promotion. You need to have some really big names. Kenny Omega was a big name coming in. You want to leverage that name value. You don't want to diminish it. So here was an example of him all about putting other people over. He gave this Allen Angles guy, Angels Angles. Now I'm screwing up the name. Jericho called him Eagles. We'll call him Allen Eagles. He's in there with Allen Eagles, and he's given this guy a ton. He gave this guy more than he should have. It was all Angels for a while until Omega hit the Snapdragon, followed that up with a V-trigger, and Angles kicked out from the V-trigger. So he gave him a hard power bomb, hit the ropes, and he wrecked him with one more V-trigger, and that's all she wrote. So, I mean, look, the outcome was never in doubt. I just think he gave this guy probably a little more than he should have. Kenny Omega is a very giving person. Chris Jericho is that way. The Rock. Think of big names that have come up in wrestling. I mean, how many top stars have there been who have been as giving, you know, earlier in their career when they were a top star as The Rock? I felt like The Rock was putting guys over left and right. I remember him working Lance Storm on Raw, Al Snow, all these different people, and he would lose some of those matches. Kenny Omega's cut from the same cloth, I guess. David Moses, thank you for the $1.99. The Bubbly Bunch was so ridiculous, he says. I love it. And Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the $5. I appreciate that. We got a Scorpio Sky video package. Talked about how all he has ever wanted to do since he was a little kid was be a pro wrestler. Says when he was a boy, his mother told him there was something special about him. You know, I mean, look, it's his mother. You know, I mean, of course she's going to say that. I mean, what mother would not say that? She wasn't good. She wouldn't be a very good mother if she told him that he sucked and he would never amount to anything in his life. That wouldn't be very nice. So he said around 2008, 2009, he suffered a really bad back injury, went to a doctor, and he was given two options. You could have surgery or you can go through pain management. Either way, you're probably not going to be wrestling anymore. Over time, though, he didn't do anything. And over time, his back started to just feel better on its own. So he realized, you know what? This might be a good time for me to get back into things. Year after year, though, would go by. He's trying, not having any luck. Now, I have to say, for people with short memories, part of that was his own fault, if you remember. He was involved in some of those Dr. Shelby skits. WWE brought him in when Kane and Daniel Bryan were doing the Team Hell No stuff in 2013. And Scorpio Sky was brought in for at least one of those segments. I don't know if they had any plans to do anything else with him, but He shot his mouth off on social media. I don't remember exactly what he said, if it was racist or you know, misogynistic. He made some comments that were very controversial. And there were some people who thought that that was it. He had buried himself and that was going to be his last shot. Nobody would touch him. He was toxic. Time went by. People forgot. I guess people have short memories. He's a talented guy. Thankfully, he was able to make a comeback. And the big comeback for him was when SCU was formed in December of 2017. So it's said to be continued next week. So we're going to get more on Scorpio Sky next week. Again, I like these video packages. I think it's something you have to do. You have to give people a reason, you know, to invest in these people, learn more about them. Sometimes you put them on TV, you don't know anything about them. It's like, why should I care? I don't know who this person is. So to give a little bit of background about their family, about their, you know, the early part of their career, you know, trials and tribulations, all that kind of stuff, I think it's smart. And also, you know, Scorpio Sky, I think, is one of those guys that they have big plans for. Tony Khan, you know, when they were pushing Scorpio Sky for a while there, a couple months, or, well, I mean, more than a couple, but a few months ago, I think he even headlined an episode of Dynamite for the championship against Chris Jericho. That was said to be a Tony Khan call. You know, he was very much behind the push of Scorpio Sky. It's kind of been cooled off since then. But I would think that he's one of those guys they probably see, you know, big things for. Not just as a tag team wrestler, but as a singles. You know, he could have a future as a single star. Up next was the Dynamite singles debut of Orange Cassidy, freshly squeezed, from whatever, weighing whatever, as Dasha said, taking on Jimmy Havoc. I feel like I have a kindred spirit in Orange Cassidy, but this ran longer than it should have. I like me a good Orange Cassidy match, but this probably did not have to go as long as it did. And I would say about 95% of it was Jimmy Havoc kicking his ass. Jimmy Havoc was having his way with this guy. He was beating him from pillar to post. He was dominating in this match. And then finally, Penelope Ford, you know, she and Kip Sabian are kind of allied right now with Jimmy Havoc. Penelope Ford jumps up on the apron. She's trying to get involved. Chuck Taylor yanks her leg. She does the splits on the apron. Remember how Melina used to do the splits in WWE? It was quite the sight. Well, here's Penelope Ford doing the splits. And Kip Sabian comes out of nowhere. He launches himself over the top rope onto the best friends, wipes him out. Meanwhile, freshly squeezed, pulls out a cradle, gets the win. So he is thoroughly dominated the entire time and then gets a cradle win. This was not a good showing for Orange Cassidy, but he did win. And immediately after the match, Havoc and Sabian laid him out. We come to Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. Now, MJF has been very cryptic of late on Twitter. He has been posting messages that some people actually took seriously. Friends of mine, and you know who you are. Some of you are going to be listening to this on the download, or maybe you're listening right now, who actually thought that maybe there's something wrong with MJF. They were worried. They thought maybe he was really hurt. Maybe he got, you know, CV. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he's suffering. Something is wrong. Something is shoot wrong with MJF. And I just shook my head. I was stunned by the number of people who bought into thinking that something was seriously wrong with MJF. You have not been paying attention now, have you? So we cut to MJF standing outside of what the caption called, the caption read, Max's Rat's House in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. So I guess one of the many rats that MJF stays with. There's an old school term for you. He says he has suffered a serious injury. Took place during his last appearance on Dynamite. And what happened was, as a result, the injury, he got a hangnail. Yeah, a hangnail is a very serious thing. Could be very painful. Had his whole arm was in a sling. Says he suffered a hangnail, but he gambled his way through the end of the show. Remember, he was gambling in the crowd with Sean Spears. He gambled his way through to the end of the show. And in the time since then, unfortunately, the injury became life-threatening. But like a phoenix, says he will rise from the ashes and become AEW World Champion. So now everybody can rest easy, knowing that MJF is okay. He'll be all right. He's hanging out with his rats. I guess he's in his rat's nest. Is that what you would call it? I'm gonna get angry emails now from people offended that I'm even using that word, because everybody gets offended about everything these days. He was in his rat's nest out on Cape Cod. He's not socially distancing, apparently. Next up, we had Wardlow taking on Lee Johnson. I know Wardlow used to be a big favorite in the chat. I feel like he's fallen out of favor with people. I don't see people going crazy anymore about Wardlow. They've already moved on. These fickle fans. One day you're the most popular person in the world. The next week, they're done with you. But Wardlow killed this dude. He flung him around like he was nothing, like just a sack of trash. And he hit the... I can't even call it an F5. I would call it like an F8. Like an F10 or something. Just flung him through the air and finished him off. And that was the end. That was the end of poor Lee Johnson. Let's take a look at what's going on here with the... Super Chats. I think we had a new one that came in from Chewy Gooey. Another Chewy Gooey Super Chat, $5. I feel like Cody and Brandy's dog, Pharaoh Rhodes, has competition with the Bubbly Bunch's two dogs. Yeah, Jericho has like a whole bunch of Chihuahua. I don't know how many dogs does Jericho have? Does he have cats? Maybe not. He has dogs. Has little Chihuahuas. So thank you to Chewy Gooey. I am just trying to get things set up for the phone calls here in a little bit. We will be taking your calls here in just a little bit as we get to the end of the show. So I'll be putting that on the screen here in a second. We got a Dark Order vignette. We got a Dark Order vignette with Mr. Brody Lee. So it starts with some person, we can't see who it is, drinking a bottle of beer on his computer. He's playing a voicemail from a lady friend. Maybe it's MJF's rat's friend from Cape Cod. And this lady friend is rejecting him on the voicemail. Oh, I think she said you're a nice guy or something, but this is just not going to work. And, you know, I mean, we've all heard this before. So she's rejecting him. Meantime, he's scanning through articles online about a Heisman winner or a Heisman Trophy contender who was injured on the football field. So I guess we're supposed to think that this is him. This person has reached rock bottom. He's being rejected by women. He suffered an injury. His football career has come to an end. What do you do? Where do you turn to? Well, he turns to the Dark Order. He goes to the website for the Dark Order, and he applies. Then we cut to Brody Lee. Brody Lee is sitting in an office. I guess he's sitting across from this person. We still can't see who it is. And he's asking the guy, so how tall are you? The guy says, 6'2". It's like, how much do you weigh? It says, 240 pounds. Says, you played college football? It's like, yep. And again, I don't know if this is yet again supposed to be a playoff of Vince McMahon or not. I hope not. I think we've had enough of that. But I'm listening to him ask, how much do you weigh? How tall are you? And I just thought to myself, here we go again. The Vince McMahon stuff. But he gives the guy a mask. And he welcomes him into the Dark Order. He says, now... you are home. So it looks like we have another new member of the Dark Order. I have no idea who this person is. I don't know if they legitimately were a Heisman Trophy winner or contender. I have no idea. Couldn't tell who it was. But Brody Lee was up next. He had a match against Justin Law. Just absolutely killed this poor kid. Finished him off with a discus lariat. So Lee exits the ring. He walks over to Marco Stunt. Marco Stunt was in the crowd. He was next to Billy Gunn and Austin Gunn. I think at one point Chris Jericho called them the Gunn Brothers. Father and son, he called them the Gunn Brothers. But Brody Lee walks over to Marco Stunt, stares him down, walks away. And Marco Stunt, though, has doom in his future. because next week he has a match against Brody Lee. And I'm already having flashbacks to the match between Lance Archer and Marco Stunt, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Sorry, Marco, but I think this is going to be fun. It won't be fun for him, but it should be fun for the rest of us. Also next week, Cody's going to take on Darby Allin in a semifinal match of the TNT title tournament, and Lance Archer takes on the winner of the Kip Sabian-Dustin Rhodes match from tonight's main event. So then we had a Inner Circle segment. Actually, let me just take a pause here and see what's going on in the chat. I feel like I'm neglecting everybody in the chat. So I want to say thank you to everybody who's joining so far live on the stream. Hope everybody is safe. Hope everybody is distancing and doing okay. Unless you live in Georgia. If you live in Georgia, you work at a tattoo parlor, if you work at a bowling alley, apparently you're going to be back to work soon. I don't envy you. Maybe we could all make a trip. Let's all make a trip to Georgia. We'll all get tattoos, haircuts, and we'll bowl a few games. We'll see how that turns out. Rojo Bear, I'm reading the super chat before it even shows up on screen. Robo Bear, or Rojo Bear. I like Robo Bear. Robo Bear, thank you for the $2. Says it was Preston Vance. Who's Preston Vance? You're going to make me look this up now, aren't you? Is Preston Vance a Heisman Trophy winner? Should we find out? Let's find out. Let's find out who Preston Vance is. Live here in real time on the stream. Preston Vance. I've never heard of Preston Vance before. This is a new person. Who is Preston Vance? Let's take a look at who Preston Vance is. One person says he is dating Anna Jay. Well, I already hate this guy. I hate this guy's guts. There you go. It took 2 seconds for me to hate this guy's guts. Anna Jay, she is something. I am very happy that AEW signed her to a contract. I think she has a lot of potential to be something very big on the in the AEW women's division. So I look forward to seeing more of Anna Jay. Apparently, though, Preston Vance, he's seeing a lot of Anna Jay, if that is true, if that is correct. I don't know if it is or isn't. I'm going to take your word for it. Let me just log in real quick here before we move on so we can take care of the phone lines. So you guys are all ready to go here in a second. I'll put the number up on the screen. Try to do it a little bit later now because there's no reason for me to log in so early if I'm not taking calls at the beginning of the stream. That's kind of dumb. So we'll log in now.
Thank you for calling Colin Studios.
We will log in now.
Enter your 6-digit PIN number.
I love following. I never have a chance to really follow all the messages in the chat.
Welcome, host.
All right, here we go. We're all set up. We are all set up and ready to go, except the fact that it says that there is an error message and it will not start a show. All right, we'll fix that right now. There we go.
Welcome.
All fixed. All right, so we get to the Bubbly Bunch. Now, we had one Bubbly Bunch segment. Was it last week or 2 weeks? I think it was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we had the Bubbly Bunch, which I enjoyed. Some people didn't like it. I don't know why. I thought it was pretty funny. And Chris Jericho rarely has a misfire on these shows. So when I heard they were doing another Bubbly Bunch, I was looking forward to it. I was very much looking forward to it because I thought, you know what? Chris Jericho, Inner Circle, they can do no wrong. I don't know about that anymore. We had Sammy Guevara. He was working out at home. He was very upset. He was communicating. He was talking to Ortiz. He was very upset that he hasn't had a lot of luck recently. He was very down in the dumps. You know, Ortiz was trying to, you know, boost him up and make him smile and, you know, tell him all these positive things. Jake Hager tells Sammy, "You're far too beautiful to look so sad. This sadness is for ugly people." So Jericho's on the line. He tells Sammy, "Look, I don't want Sammy to be sad. I don't want anybody in the Inner Circle to be sad." So he made the suggestion. He goes, "I think that we need to have a flim-flam competition. And the winner of this flim-flam competition is going to get a container of hand sanitizer." And that perks him up. He says, "Hand sanitizer." So all of a sudden, they start doing their own flim-flam dances. whatever the hell that is. I have no idea what a flimflam is. I assume they were just mocking these dumb TikTok videos I keep seeing on my timeline. I'm so sick to death of hearing about TikTok. I mean, TikTok with, Killer Cross is fine. That's a different kind of TikTok. These other TikToks I have no use for. So I don't know, maybe Flim Flam is a dance. You know, it's like Running Man or Macarena or the Dougie. Ever teach me how to Dougie? Nobody ever taught me how to Dougie. I don't know how to Dougie. Nobody taught me. So they do Flim Flam. And then Jericho's upset because Sammy Guevara was showing off. He was doing all these hot dance moves. And he curses him out and he says, "Enjoy your hand sanitizer." I thought this was a rare miss for Chris Jericho. I enjoyed the last Bubbly Bunch. I thought this one was lame. I didn't like this one. So we'll see if I'm in the minority. I probably am in the minority on that. I don't give a crap. I didn't think it was as good as the first one. So then it was main event time. Kip Sabian, super bad Kip Sabian, against the natural Dustin Rhodes in a TNT title tournament match. Dustin Rhodes during the week had announced that if he did not win this match, if he could not beat Kip Sabian here in this tournament, he would retire. They have really been building this as his potential last match for several days now, and I just thought the whole time that it was absolutely laughable. It was obvious that he would be moving on to die at the hands of Lance Archer, if nothing else, just to further the Cody storyline. You know, Archer wants to get his hands on Cody. What better way to get at Cody than to basically destroy his older brother? I mean, the story writes itself. I don't know how some people can see it. And also, you know, keep this in mind. They're taping these shows. These shows are not live. They're taping these shows in an empty building. They're taping them in an empty training facility. Do you honestly believe that Dustin Rhodes is going to wrestle his last match in an empty building? So I think what they were trying to do is fine. You know, if you're going to have Dustin Rhodes and Kip Sabian as your main event, you better put some kind of stipulation behind it. Dustin Rhodes and Kip Sabian might be a main event on Dark. Dustin Rhodes and Kip Sabian is not an appropriate main event for Dynamite. And they tried to make it one here by adding the stipulation. It's just not a Dynamite main event. You know, it's just not. I would rather see Darby and Sammy in the main event spot. So Sabian took most of this. They teased Dustin having knee problems. Dustin made a comeback. Hit the snap power slam. Brandy was out there in Dustin's corner. Penelope Ford was out there in Kip's corner. Penelope tried to get involved. She gets in the ring. She hits the ropes. I guess she's going to, you know, come off and do a dive, I guess, out onto Brandy. Only Brandy gets in the ring and spears her down. So Brandy takes Penelope out of the picture. Dustin follows up with a destroyer. How old is Dustin Rhodes? Got to be 50. 50-year-old Dustin Rhodes hits a destroyer. And he wins the match. Dustin Rhodes advances to his doom next week against Lance Archer, just as I predicted. Again, the story is so simple. Stevie Wonder could see where they were going with this. So I thought, you know, on the whole, there was nothing wrong with this show. I just thought it was lacking a certain energy to it. I thought the Bubbly Bunch was a miss compared to the first one. But I mean, on the whole, I thought it was good. I wouldn't say it was anything more than that. You know, just these last couple of weeks, it's been missing something. But yeah, part of it also is, forget the lack of a crowd. You tape so far in advance, and, you know, it just kind of feels, I don't know, it just, it's missing that feeling of, I don't know if urgency is the right word, but there's a certain feel that Dynamite has that separates it. I think there's a reason NXT has been winning the last couple of weeks, you know, ratings-wise. Both shows have dropped off, but there's a certain reason why Dynamite has dropped and NXT is finally being competitive. You know, until they can really kind of get back to business, I feel like this is the way that it's going to be. But they told a story with Dustin, and so Dustin moves on. And, you know, at least we've got some tournament matches. I do like that. Feels like there's something on the line here as they build towards Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing not happening in Las Vegas. I don't know where it's happening. I don't know if it's going to be in Georgia. I don't know if it's going to be in Florida. They're allowed to go back to Florida. They certainly can go back to Florida if they want to. After all, if WWE is an essential business, then so is AEW. AEW is essential. So I don't know where Double or Nothing is going to be, but everything is building towards Double or Nothing. Finals of the tournament, we still haven't seen what the TNT title looks like. I'm very anxious to see what the championship actually looks like. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. Can't believe somebody won with a Destroyer, he says. That never happens. That's true. That is true. We usually see the Destroyer as some kind of a setup move or something. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5. I'll assume Aubrey has no peripheral vision. How could she not see Penelope and Brandy in the ring? Well, clearly, you know, she's a female, and so we had two females in the ring, and she was being biased. Clearly. And Food Hive, thank you for the $5. One day I want to hear your impressions of a conversation between Vince Russo and Jimmy Snuka. Says, I die each time you impersonate them. Vince Russo versus Jimmy Snuka, maybe refereed by Josh Matthews, perhaps? Hey, I'm going crazy here in quarantine. I might have to. I might have to come up with something like that. Let's see what you guys came up with in the polls. What you thought of AEW Dynamite. Actually, before I do that, Michael Cuomo. I almost forgot Michael. Michael's super chat just came in. Corbin Krang. Thank you for the $5. Brody Lee mocking Vince reminds me of when Steve Austin was mocking Bischoff back in WCW. Here's the AEW poll so far. Yeah, see, even in the polls, I mean, when these polls would go up until like a couple of weeks ago, I mean, the AEW poll always had like by now 1,300, 1,400 votes. You know, now we're up to 769 votes. You could just tell. You don't need the ratings to know. Overall interest, it's just down. You know, you would almost think the opposite. Everybody's home. They got nothing better to do. Why not watch some wrestling? It's not happening. Interest across the board. I can tell you. Interest across the board is down. And it's scary to think about because this is only the beginning. It's still only April. We got a long ways to go. 75% thumbs up for Dynamite, 25% thumbs down. So a little worse than it usually does. NXT so far, 645 votes, 68.5% thumbs up, and 31.5% thumbs down. And so that is where we are so far in terms of the polls. Let's go to the phone lines. I believe this is Vegas. I could be wrong. 702. Las Vegas, by the way, who has probably the dumbest mayor in the entire country. But go ahead, 702.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, our major's pretty dumb.
Yeah, I would say so. Not your finest hour today. I was listening to her speak earlier, and boy, I thought we had a bad here in New York, but yikes out there in Vegas.
I'm sorry.
He's got nothing to say. He's speechless. Hey, you don't have to explain yourself. I get it. I know.
Yeah, well, overall, I think Vegas is actually doing okay, except for the major, or, you know, that person.
Well, just keep her off TV. Keep her off TV, and you'll be fine.
Oh, yep. So I actually have a few questions. One is about Double or Nothing.
Sure.
Like the card setup. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even know where it's going to be at since it's not in Vegas anymore. I don't really see any potential match card lines, like apart from the TNT finals. And I don't know. What's your take
well,
on it?
So I would say, yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking at this potential card. The one thing we know, as you said, is the TNT title tournament final. I'm guessing it's going to be Cody and Lance Archer. Although I wouldn't say don't count out Darby Allin if they want to kind of shock people, hold off on the Cody match a little while longer, but it'll probably be Cody and Archer. As far as the AEW title, they announced Jon Moxley is going to be on the show next week. We might get a better sense then of who his next challenger is going to be. And it could be MJF. You know, MJF tonight, at the end of his promo, outside of his rat's nest, said that he would be the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. He has a win over Cody. Cody obviously can't compete anyway for the championship. So unless they do a rematch with Jericho, which is possible, I think MJF would be the most likely contender. If we're looking outside the inner circle, MJF, I don't have his win-loss record in front of me right now, but it would strike me that he would be the most logical choice, you know, to be the next challenger. That, of course, is assuming he is fully recovered and medically cleared from his hangnail. I mean, that's a tough injury. So if he can be medically cleared in time, I would say MJF. Big Boy, 92. With the $10 Russo on a poll super chat, good thing I bought tickets to next year's Double or Nothing. Can't wait for 2021. Yes, Double or Nothing 2021 in Vegas. Was it May 29th, I believe? Saturday, May 29th, 2021. Boy, I hope we're all done with this by then. I certainly hope we're all done. I can't take another 6 months of this, let alone another year. Oh my God, I don't even want to think about that. I don't even want to think about that. Another year of empty arena shows. Ugh. 201, you're on the air.
Hey, Solomon, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. Hope you're doing safe and you're well in Brooklyn. You know, I'm in New Jersey, and a mess just as much as over there, I would imagine. So hope you're doing good. My question, before I get to it, I got to say, I had a chance to see the Dino Bravo special for the Dark Side of the Ring. I know you're going to talk about it Sunday, but I loved it. It was amazing, and I can't rave it enough. So I'm looking forward to the review.
Yeah, I'll talk about it on Sunday. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was the strongest of the episodes this season, but they do a good job with them. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed every episode so far.
Fair. I'm a sucker for documentaries, so stuff like that always intrigues me. And overall, with AEW, I thought it was an interesting show. I agree with you about the main event. It didn't feel like a main event. I would definitely want to switch the two TNT semifinal matches so that it could have been Darby and Sammy at the main event. I feel like that could have been stronger. My question is, I've been thinking about it this past week revolving New Japan, because I've been seeing a lot of stuff about New Japan and how they've really done an amazing job helping out their employees, the wrestlers. Everyone's, from what I understand, is still getting paid and doing everything that they can to help out. I think Tanahashi even said to the Japanese government, like, don't let us start wrestling until let us be the last, basically, to do pro wrestling when it comes to pro wrestling opening up, because it just that's when we'll know it's safe for everyone to come together. My question is, when New Japan does start up, what do you want to do when it comes to, like, the main event title picture? Like, do you see anyone right now that, you know, it's hard to say with a card, no card or anything like that. So I'm just curious, like, how would you want to, like, go about, like, the next New Japan show when they start up or whenever that happens?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I wish I had a better sense of when that might be. I was really bummed that they couldn't do the New Japan Cup. I had Sonata was my pick to win the whole thing there. I mean, I didn't see him going on to win the championship. I kind of saw him going on maybe to win the Intercontinental. As far as, you know, Naito and the next challenger and all that, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird thing. I'd have to look at the pecking order there. I think if I were in New Japan, or if I were any of these companies, you know, when the time comes that we're hopefully able to get back to, you know, actual audience shows and big shows, you got to blow it out, right? Right away, right off the bat, almost like a big celebration. Unfortunately, I think we're still quite a ways off, at least in this country, we're quite a ways off from that. But I would want to do the biggest possible match I can just to, you know, kind of get people back into things. And I don't know if that's, you know, Naito and Okada, or if it's maybe Naito and Ibushi, or some match like that, I think. In terms of storylines and who the next challenger is going to be, off the top of my head, I don't know. My headspace has not been in New Japan for a couple months now, with everything going on, other than I was just bummed they didn't do the New Japan Cup. But I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, what can you do? You know, I mean, we're going to get Naito and Hiromu, we didn't get that either. So that's a match they're going to have to get to as well. I mean, you could say the same about all these companies. You know, when things are able to kind of get back to normal, whatever normal is, you know, what are you going to do? What's the big match that you're going to try to put together? Because you're going to have to bring people back in. You know, my fear is the longer that this drags on for, overall interest in wrestling, it could be harder and harder to get these people to come back. They find other things to watch, other things to do. I don't think it's an automatic that they're just going to come back in droves and start watching again. And that's going to be harder for an AEW and some of these newer companies because they don't have the kind of equity that WWE has. So they're going to have to work that much harder, I think, to get some of these people back. Let's go to, let's try 740.
Hey, Solomonster, how you doing?
I'm good. I hear myself in the background. It's like not double vision, it's like double audio. See if you can mute my terrible voice in the background.
How you doing today?
I'm good.
I didn't feel like tonight's Dynamite was up to par with some of the more recent ones, I'm sorry. I think a big part of that, though, is the star power's lacking. I feel like they're relying too much on squash matches right now, which could be a good way to put people over. Don't get me wrong. It worked back in your day. But you see, people in my area, you know, we grow up with more competitive matches and stuff, so maybe we just don't get it. But what's your thoughts on that? You think WWE, because, you know, Raw recently, they feel like old primetime wrestling episodes.
Oh, Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, they felt like old primetime wrestling episodes in recent weeks.
No. I enjoyed those old primetime wrestling episodes. I can't say the same for all these episodes of Raw. Plus, the one big element that those old primetimes had, I guess depending on what time frame you're thinking of, I think of primetime, I think of Monsoon and Heenan and their kind of banter. There is nobody in that company that has the kind of chemistry those two had. At least that, I would find that entertaining. I don't watch Raw and think of primetime wrestling. I mean, I watch Raw and I just think to myself, it's a struggle every week. It's 3 hours and it felt like it was 6 hours watching it this week.
Quick buy or sell, real quick. More legendary tag team between the Road Warriors and the Dudley Boys. Who do you think is more legendary and why? And that'll do it for me.
Cool. More legendary. When I think more legendary, I think of the Road Warriors. Road Warriors, to me, are far more legendary than the Dudley Boys. Dudley Boys are a very decorated team. Dudley Boys have had a lot of luck and a lot, well, not even luck, but they've had a lot of success across different promotions. You know, they've won tag team championships across 3 or 4 probably different promotions and in Japan and everything. So I'm not trying to diminish the success of the Dudley Boys, but you talk about legendary status, think of the Road Warriors. Road Warriors also had success. NWA, AWA, WWE, Japan. They kind of mirrored each other. To me, it's not about the number of championships. But, you know, they don't call it the Dudley Boy pop, right? They call it the Road Warrior pop. There's a reason for that. Road Warriors are actually getting the Dark Side of the Ring treatment next month. I don't know why. Unless they just talk about their drug problems and stuff. I'm not sure why that's Dark Side of the Ring. I guess we'll find out. But, yeah, no, legendary teams I definitely would buy on LOD over the Dudleys. The antagonist, thank you for the $5. Did Jericho really call Omega Rocky Dennis? Hope you're well, Solomonster. You are my spirit animal. If that animal was a hairless cat. I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, but I'll take it. And I did not hear him, I did not hear Jericho say that. So it's possible he did, I just didn't pick up on it. And stoned Mexican guy. How appropriate. Here in the week of 420, stoned Mexican guy with the $1.99. Hey, Solomonster, hope you're well. Take care of yourself. That's very nice. Hope you take care of yourself as well, stoned Mexican guy. I think you're probably having a better time than I am. Let's go to 817. There we go, 817, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason, this is Carlos, longtime listener,
hey,
first-time caller. So I was looking at the list of people that were released, and what do you think is the criteria that they use to release these people? Because it really baffles me when you let people like Rusev, Gallows and Anderson, Sarah Logan, even Mike Chioda, just for the loyalty that this guy has worked for so long for the company. Yet you still employ people like Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Apollo Crews, which they barely use, Tamina, which has always been terrible in the ring, Fandango, Dana Brooke. What's your take?
I think it's probably a combination of different things. I would imagine it's a combination of how much money are they making, which would explain Anderson and Gallows, because supposedly their new deal was for a lot of money. And so that's a lot of money off the books for two guys that they probably looked at and said they're not worth the money for what we're doing with them. If, let's say, they're making $750,000 each a year, you look at what they were doing with them, are they worth the money? They probably looked at that and said, nope. So that's why they were cut. And then some of these other people, they probably looked at them as, you know, expendable. Plain and simple. I looked at those names and I thought to myself, aside from a few of them, these people were expendable. EC3 was not being used. Heath Slater was not being used. Hawkins, Ryder, you know, Sarah Logan, even Sarah Logan, she was at the bottom of the pecking order. These were not people who were involved in important storylines on TV. Rusev was in the middle of a contract dispute. It felt like he's had one foot out the door now for months, so that wasn't a shock. Lana signed a new deal last year. Lana's been involved in a TV angle with Bobby Lashley, so Lana's still there. I look at some of the, I don't want to name names because that would be mean, but I looked at some of the names that did not get cut. I looked at the rosters and I picked out a few names that I was kind of shocked. They were not on the cut list, but I would imagine that they just said, look, we have X number of dollars we need to get off the books. Who are we using? Who are we not using? And it's like having a salary cap, you know, let's get under the cap. Everything they do is driven by money. You got to remember that. Everything they do is driven by the stock price and is driven by money. So when you wonder, how did they come to this decision? It's driven by money. Plain and simple. Anything else?
Nope, that will be it. Thank you for your time, Jason.
Awesome, thanks for calling. Always remember that. Everything this company does, and look, they're a business. Not saying that they shouldn't pay attention to their bottom line, but everything they do is driven by the almighty dollar. Food Hive, thank you for the $5. AEW, he says, has the best commentary in wrestling. I will not disagree with that. That is certainly one thing that AEW has the leg up on. And he says, all the pairings have me entertained and informed. Many moments they gave us, like The Butcher and The Blade. Yeah, we haven't seen The Butcher and The Blade. Well, I guess The Butcher would not be considered an essential business. Or would he? Actually, that's a good question. It is food, right? Grocery stores are open. Grocery stores have butchers. Maybe that's why we haven't seen him. He's in the butcher shop. XBLYN, thank you for the $5. Disappointed Solomonster, there it is, $5. Shout out to Stone Mexican Guy from Brooklyn. I assume that stands for Brooklyn. Why am I spelling it out? I don't see the K, but I'm going to assume that's Brooklyn. Ex-Brooklyn. So he's giving a shout out to Stone Mexican Guy. I don't think we've ever had one Super Chat give a shout out to another, but there you go. We're all one big family here. It's like WWE, right? They tell their employees or their talent... We're all one big family, except for about 20 of you that we're going to fire. Otherwise, we're all one big family. Let's go to 540. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason. Rick here. How you doing?
Hey, Ricky.
Well, first of all, I got to say, one big happy family. I think I wish I would get coronavirus after hearing that one.
Jeez.
Yeah. Sorry, bad joke there. But no, I was calling because I want to throw a thought rather than a question. I know that Dark Order hasn't been really well received by a lot of people. And I know that there have been a lot of people who have been complaining about Brody Lee and his kind of leaning into being a parody of Vince McMahon. But what if, and this is just a thought that I've had, and I've actually written on a Facebook All Elite Wrestling board, what if the whole Dark Order went into the whole allegory as WWE thing? I think it would make for some interesting possibilities, especially when you consider that a lot of people throughout the years have considered WWE like going into the, you know, going over to the dark side and all that kind of thing. You could, and if you think about it, I think it kind of works because you have this charismatic guy in Brody Lee, who's kind of a, like, again, kind of a takeoff on Vince McMahon. You have his two henchmen in Evil Uno and Grayson being like maybe his two henchmen. You can plug in whoever you want, Triple H, Pat Patterson, whoever. And then you have a whole bunch of faceless wrestlers behind them who can't get over for whatever reason because the Dark Order won't let them. And I think that really works in it being kind of an allegory for WWE. And towards the end of it, you could have kind of like a, I guess, kind of an uprising within where you finally have some guys, be they new guys or older guys who got thrown in there to make up the numbers. You could do like maybe a redemption story arc or bring in new stars, kind of rise up from the Dark Order and kind of take it all apart whenever they decide to do that. And then they could kind of change the landscape a little bit. You have these new stars that could come into AEW and fill in the roster. And they could be like, hey, yay, these are the guys who took down the Dark Order. I think there, and that's just one aspect. I think there would be some very interesting things if they leaned into that more WWE allegory kind of deal.
Yeah, I feel like you've probably given this more thought than they have. Look, it's a detailed idea. I think it could work. I'm not the biggest fan of continuing on with these sort of comparisons between or these connections between one and the other. And you're going to have more WWE talent coming in. We know some of the cut people are probably going to end up in AEW. We know the Revival probably are going to end up in AEW. So that, to me, the more that you do where you draw these, not comparisons, but, you know, these little connections between WWE or the way talent is treated in WWE and now here, you know, in AEW, I don't know how healthy that is for AEW going forward. I think at some point you want to just sort of distance yourself from that and just let these, or come up with stories that have absolutely nothing to do with that. It could just be a case of people who have been kicked around and bullied their whole lives, or, you know, people who, you know, in the case of a Brody Lee, here's a guy who's taking advantage of people who are in their darkest, you know, their darkest hour. They have nothing. They're on the brink. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the brink of taking their life or anything like that, but, you know, he's got these guys that are just completely, they've been discarded by the world, and so now he's going to take advantage of this. He's going to use them to surround himself with an army of, it's almost like an army of just drones who are going to just be at his beck and call. At some point, they have an uprising, and they rise up against him, and maybe out of that, you can get one. Even if you got one new big star, that would be great, let alone two. I don't know who that would be because the people he's surrounding himself with are not big star material. I don't know who this Preston Vance is. I guess we'll learn more about him in the weeks to come. But you should have at least that one person in the Dark Order who 6 months or a year from now, it's kind of like Batista and Evolution. They kind of have this epiphany and they're like, oh, wait a minute, you're treating us like garbage here. And he rises up, maybe turns the whole faction against him, or, you know, has a match with Brody Lee and beats him and breaks out on his own. I would hope that's what they're using the Dark Order for. I'd rather they just do a very straightforward story like that. I don't think it has to have anything to do with WWE.
Well, I agree. That's another way to go as well. I just felt that the allegory of Dark Order being WWE was a pretty interesting idea as well.
Yeah, no,
but
it is.
The way you put it.
Yeah, no, look, I think they're both, look, I think both ideas have their merits, and both of them could work. Are they going in that direction? I have no idea. I guess we'll have to just see. It's still very early. But I think if they went in either direction, I think either one could probably work.
Cool. All right. Just wanted to get that thought out there in the ether. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the call. That was a lot of thought was put into that. I hope that AEW generally, I think, does a pretty good job with their stories. So it's possible they're also putting that level of thought into the Dark Order. I mean, clearly they like the Dark Order angle. You know, they dropped certain aspects of it that didn't work late last year. The stuff where they beat up the Elite, they got away from that. That was a very poorly received segment, if you remember that episode of Dynamite before Christmas. But they've stuck with this Dark Order from the very first show, so they obviously believe in it, and I would certainly hope they have a long-term plan for it. I think we have an international caller here. I don't know what time it would be, but it looks to me like this call might be coming from Australia.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, man?
Good. Who am I talking to?
Zoran from Queensland.
Zoran.
Australia.
Now, what time is it where you are?
It's currently 10 past 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Over here.
Middle of the day. So, what did you think? First of all, did you see Dynamite tonight? And if so, what did you think?
Yeah, I think they make the best of a bad situation. I thought the Dustin Rhodes main event was a bit of an odd choice. Like, I wasn't expecting that to be the main event. And then when the lower third came up saying that, it was copyright 2020 and the show was over, I was like, oh my God, that was the end of the show. They're ending on Dustin. It was very, very weird.
Yeah, I said before, it didn't feel like a main event. That's why they had to add that stipulation, because without it, there's no way you could have ended the show with this. You would have ended with probably something like Darby and Sammy.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And plus, I'm a massive fan of both of those guys, so I would have preferred if that was the main event. I did just have a question about Brody Lee and the Dark Order. I know a lot of sort of smart fans aren't really a big fan of them making references to Vince McMahon. And I just wanted to ask, do you think a casual viewer would be able to make the connection between Brody Lee and Vince McMahon?
Probably not. I'm guessing probably, I mean, some might, but I think the majority of them, it would probably go over their heads.
Exactly, yeah. Like, me personally, I haven't had any real issue with any sort of shots between AEW and NXT or AEW and WWE.
Yeah, but here,
like, I'm completely fine with as many sort of inside jokes as possible.
But here's the thing, I think I would counter that by saying this. Would you agree that the audience that AEW caters to is more of an inside audience?
I do think that's what's left. I think, like, week one, when they had, I think, like, 1.4 million viewers, I think that was a lot of casuals. But I think now they're hitting, like, 600-something thousand. Well, I do think now it has sort of whittled itself down to people who would understand it. But I don't think it's necessarily that bad of an idea.
Okay. Any other thoughts from the show?
Nothing too much. I just want to say thank you so much for putting out your show. I watch it every week and I'm a massive fan, mate. You're doing a great job.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. And definitely call back. I love hearing from all the international folks. I know, like, over in the UK right now, it's probably, what is it now? 2 o'clock in the morning? 3 o'clock in the morning? Probably not going to hear from any Brits, I'm guessing. Calling in after an empty arena taped Dynamite show. It's not exactly a hot night. But I always love hearing from the international folks. Let me just catch up here on these super chats here. Denzel Jenkins, the $1.99, says, I love you, Stone Mexican guy. Look at, hey, this Stone Mexican guy is getting over more than me here. We got to be careful here. And Dried Chicken Without Flavor, our old buddy is back, $5. After watching another Dark Order video package, Mr. Brody Lee is starting to become more like a James Bond villain character. I wonder if that's kind of the intent. He's supposed to be, 1 week he's Vince McMahon, the next week he's James Bond. Well, to tell you something, he doesn't look like a James Bond I've ever seen. He might be portrayed like James Bond, but he don't look like no James Bond. I've never seen James Bond look like that before. Let's go to 423. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing
this
well.
This is James.
Hey, James.
Yeah. I'm the one from Georgia.
Ah, we got James from Georgia. So from what I understand, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe at the end of this week, is it tattoo parlors, barbershops, and bowling alleys that are reopening?
Yes.
No restaurants?
Yeah. Restaurants will be open. Not, you know, they're still going to keep it like, you know, maybe six feet. And that's what I've heard. So a lot of people are happy about it. Some people not so much, you know.
Are you going to be, are you planning on going out, or are you going to be playing it safe and staying in?
Well, Friday I'll be going to help my neighbor move some stuff out of the trailer. Other than that, I'll stay in.
Probably the safe thing to be doing.
You know. Yeah. I just want to say, I thought AEW was a decent show. I didn't agree with the main of. I wouldn't call it a main event. I would call it just to me, just another match. But I was telling my neighbor who called me, and I told him, I said, I would rather watch Sopranos episode than watch this.
Well, I mean, Sopranos is one of the best TV shows ever made. You can't compare it to that.
Oh, no, I just kind of thought of that because, you know, I was going to watch it after AEW, but Jason, I just think right now wrestling is not the same without a crowd. And I mean, because I heard you talk about it, you know, and I just right now I just it's not really I guess entertaining, you know.
Yeah, it's weird because AEW had this kind of, I don't know if charm is the right word, there was a certain feeling it had. And I think one of the reasons why NXT has kind of climbed back the last couple of weeks and may win again this week. Although I say win, I mean, really, there's no winners here. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, both shows have fallen off, yeah. And the difference between audiences the last two weeks has been a few thousand people. But I think one of the reasons that we've seen it is what made AEW kind of unique and separated it from NXT has kind of been stripped away a little bit. And so now both shows are kind of on the same level. You're going to have people who say, oh, see, Charlotte Flair is the NXT Women's Champion, and clearly she's helping NXT to victory. Those people don't know what they're talking about. But, yeah, so
right.
Don't get me started on that. But, yeah, so the longer this goes on for, it doesn't help. It doesn't help either show, but it's a shame because AEW had something fun, and now part of that, you know, there's still fun segments, but part of that has been taken away.
Right, yeah, and I just think it's without any star power, and you know, NXT's NXT. I mean, I don't look at AEW NXT as a war rating thing. I mean, to me, it's just, you know, NXT, they have better matches, and I understand that, and AEW's going to stick with what they're going to stick with. But to be honest with you, you can't rely on the Inner Circle every Wednesday night and Matt Hardy to try to boost ratings.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is, again, they taped so far ahead that they only had so many people in the building that night. So whatever the roster was that night, and this is part of what we're seeing now, whatever the roster was in the building that night where they taped this, where you are in Georgia is where they taped it. That's the group of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the group of people that they had for basically 6 weeks worth of television. And we're only in the middle of probably 6 or 7 weeks worth of TV. So the next 3-4 weeks of Dynamite, it's going to be from the same roster. So you're not going to see Hangman Page. You're not going to see the Young Bucks. You're not going to see the Lucha Bros, right? All these people. And that's what we're seeing here. They only had so many people in the building and they taped so far ahead. That's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I just want to say, I do enjoy the Dark Side of the Ring show. I'll be honest with you, I get more excited for the Dark Side of the Ring episodes than I do AEW or NXT. So,
yeah, no, it's a great show. I've been enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, well, you have a good one, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Stay safe. Stay in. Don't go to those barbershops and tattoo parlors just yet. It's probably a little too early for that. No, I'm a big Dark Side of the Ring fan. I'm gonna get into this a little bit more on Sunday. People were asking me what happened to the Brawl for All review. I've been getting a lot of really positive feedback, and I want to take a moment here and just thank everybody who's listening, either live or on the download, people in the chat, because I've been getting a lot of really positive feedback. I've been putting a lot of work a lot of time, a lot of research. I mean, some of the stuff I already knew, but they don't always have time to cover everything in these episodes. And I'm a sucker when it comes to going into like some of the wrestling history and stuff. So, you know, the Snuka episode, the Brawl for All episode, you know, some of the other shows, the Benoit stuff. I've enjoyed talking about it and putting that stuff together. And people have reacted well to it. And people were asking me, what happened to the Brawl for All review? I wanted to go back and I wanted to watch it on YouTube. It is still up, by the way, if you want to listen to it. It's episode 647. You could always listen to the full episodes. But just to address that real quick, the episode got hit by Vice. The review got hit by the Vice YouTube channel with a strike. And this is similar to what happened a couple of months ago with AEW, when I got hit by an accidental strike because they're looking to take down people who are uploading full episodes of their shows. Well, I got hit for no good reason. Now, thankfully, that was resolved with AEW within a few days. I've had no such luck with Vice. I got hit. I've reached out to Vice. They have ignored me so far. You know, I have the name of a person there. They've completely blown me off. They don't want to help me at all, apparently. Have not responded to me. Have not acknowledged the situation. It's obvious to me what... I mean, I could see, you know, in the claim. I mean, it's literally like the episode number, the season number. It was probably an automated thing, courtesy of our wonderful friends at YouTube. And Vice has just given me the silent treatment so far. So I have filed a legal claim because I know, you know, that I certainly didn't do anything wrong. The funny thing to me is if you go on YouTube right now, you type in Dark Side of the Ring, you go take a look at what comes up. I mean, you're going to see full episodes right on down the list, and those are all still up. And yet, for some reason, the Brawl for All review got hit. And there does not seem to be any resolution forthcoming, and it hurts the channel. You know, for no good reason, through no fault of my own. Again, I'm a big fan of the show. Enjoy reviewing it. It's literally a graphic and me talking. I mean, it's ridiculous. The whole situation is completely ridiculous. So that's kind of where we are. The video is going to be down as long as this is going on for. I would assume at some point it'll be resolved. When it is, like the AEW review from a couple months ago, it'll hopefully pop right back up. But in the meantime, it really hurts. It hurts the channel. It's not just that one video went down. It hurts the channel. So hopefully this will be resolved soon, because it's not a good look for Vice, certainly, if they're going to just ignore the situation. And it's really crappy for content creators who just don't have a leg to stand on here. We, you know, content creators are the ones who are getting screwed over. If it's happening to me, you know, it's happening to other people too. And it's not right. It's not right at all. Troy Turner, thank you for the $5, says if Brody Lee wants to be Vince, he would have to have a, let's see here, have a God/Million Dollar Man complex or be a raging D-bag, whichever works best, I guess. Well, I think that's kind of the character he's trying to portray, isn't it? He's acting like a real, you know, he's talking down to his guys. He's kind of verbally abusing them, putting them down. I kind of think that's what he's already portraying. Let's take a couple more, then we'll wrap up here. Let's go to 404. You're on the air.
Hey, Son of the Monster.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I'm Diego Organ. This is a non-AEW question, but so do you think Killer Kross and Timothy Thatcher deserve to stay in the Indies instead of signing with NXT or any of the other big companies? That's hard to say, but hey, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Killer Kross has been, I mean, he's been waiting a long time to get this shot in WWE. And he was stuck with Impact for a while. I say stuck because he wanted out. They wouldn't let him out. Look, the guy had a contract. So they were at an impasse. I like Killer Kross a lot. I talk about him and people say, oh, what's so special about Killer Kross? Is he some kind of great in-ring technician? He's not. I'm not saying he's Bret Hart. I'm not saying he's Shawn Michaels. But he has a look to him. He's got personality and charisma. You look at the guy, he looks like a scary dude. He can talk, he's got that presence about him. More importantly, he's got Scarlett Bordeaux. Okay, so you put Scarlett Bordeaux with him, that's a combination I think that could work. As long as he can, you know, wrestle decent matches and not go in there and hurt himself or hurt other people, I think he'll do very well. So he just has that look. I think he can be a big star and go a long way. You mentioned Timothy Thatcher. I've seen his work. I can't sit here and tell you that I'm the biggest Timothy Thatcher fan. I've seen every match and every Evolve match and everything else. But he kind of reminds me a lot of Oney Lorcan. He's that scrappy kind of brawler who I think will probably end up settling into a very similar role. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot more than that to him. He's got that mean look, comes out, beats the hell out of you. Does he have personality? Does he have charisma? I haven't seen it. He's been on TV 1 week. So I think we have to just give him time. I see him settling into almost like more of an Oney Lorcan. He's sort of the gatekeeper. They put him in there with people to kind of humble them, in a word. Killer Cross, though, is the one who I think has superstar potential. I do. I really think he's got superstar potential. Let's go to 651. This will work here. I'm trying to put it through. No? There we go. 651.
Hello?
Hey.
Brother, how you doing?
Brother. Brother, thank you for calling in, brother.
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 No problem, man. Good, you know, decent show. You know, you can't really do that much with an arena show or, you know, no fans, but, you know, decent show. And then, you know, weird fact, I found out by accident by Googling something that Scorpio Sky was actually in TNA back in 2012, like in the X Division for a bit.
Yeah, that's right.
As Mason Andrews.
You're right. That's right. I completely forgot about that. Yes, he was.
Yeah. And then, you know, my ass. So quick question, non-wrestling or WWE or anything. So we just found out that the Red Sox manager only got banned for the playoffs and they didn't really get punished. Same with the Astros. So how do you feel about the cheating scandal that happened?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. And I think that there are some people who they should have been punished a lot harsher than they were. Some people got off scot-free. I think that sets a bad example. I didn't hear too much about the Red Sox thing today because I've been out of the loop. I was doing other stuff. So all I heard was that I think one person got punished. Is that the case with the Red Sox? I think one guy got punished for it?
Like the manager got punished and they lost draft picks. Nothing, you know, special.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's people are always going to find a shortcut. You know, I mean, it might be quiet for a while. There'll be some other scandal few years from now that comes up. There's always going to be people looking for a shortcut who think they can get away with something. I mean, cheating is nothing new.
Yeah.
But this thing, you can't convince me that people did not know what was going on. They had quite the sophisticated little system in place there, and a lot of people look the other way, and you got to pay the price for it. So I think, you know, Houston fans might not like to hear that because it's their team, but that's the reality of it. You know, some people got away with something they shouldn't have gotten away with.
Exactly. And then quick shout out to my homeboy, my advocate in the live stream, Turtlehead.
Turtlehead.
Love you guys.
Love
and
Turtlehead.
Then, and then, no, I'm going to make a challenge to Stony Mexican. I'm coming for you next Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness. A challenge has been laid down to Stony Mexican guy. He might be too stoned to compete, though. That's not fair.
That is true. He might be Jeff Hardy.
Well, I think Jeff Hardy had more problems than being stoned, but that's for another day. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I appreciate the call. I think Jeff Hardy had more problems than weed to worry about. But, brother, he had a lot of problems, brother. Stick to the coconuts, brother. Food Hive, thank you for the $2. The Walking Dead season 1-6 or Breaking Bad? I can't vote against it. Breaking Bad is one of the greatest television shows ever made. And by the way, I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't know how many of you watched Breaking Bad. Or maybe you're in the middle of watching Breaking Bad. I can sit here and tell you that one of the greatest, if not perhaps the greatest, spinoff of a major television show is Better Call Saul. And it's quite genius what they did. I mean, they took a character from, I'm not giving anything away, but they took a character, a side character a relatively minor character from Breaking Bad and gave him his own television show. And it's 5 seasons in. They got one more left to go. I have no idea when they're going to be able to film it with everything going on. But there's 1 season left of the show. This show is incredible. And it's a spinoff with a minor character from another TV show. It is incredible what Vince Gilligan and all of them have been able to put together. If you're not watching it, you're really missing out. I would watch Breaking Bad first and then start Better Call Saul. Even just the way it's shot, like the cinematography and everything. It's a beautiful show. It's a great television show. I have never steered you wrong with my recommendations, right? I've recommended The Shield. I'm recommending this too. It's a great show. Let's see, who did I... Oh, man, I missed a whole bunch of them here. I got to play catch up. Troy Turner, dropping the super chat earlier. If Brody Lee wants to be Vince... Oh, I already said that. Troy just got a second shout-out. Here we go. Aaron Banks, thank you for the $5. Non-wrestling question. What comedy team do you like more, if any? The Three Stooges or Laurel and Hardy? I'm going to go neither, and I'm going to go with a choice that you did not include, which is a little faux pas on your part, but that's okay. Abbott and Costello. My mother raised me to be an Abbott and Costello. See, here's the thing. When you are growing up, I think you obviously take after your parents in a lot of cases. Your parents, they sit you down in front of the TV. You're watching what they watch. And so you become fan, or you listen to the music they listen to, right? That's generally how it works. That's probably why I grew up a Hall & Oates fan and all that. And Abbott and Costello was a favorite of my mother. She had all the tapes. So as I grew up, I watched Abbott and Costello. And they are my favorite. I've seen every Abbott and Costello movie. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. Hold That Ghost. Buck Privates. Naughty 90s. Of course, that's where the whole Who's on First routine comes from, which is literally played in the Baseball Hall of Fame. You sit on a bench. There's a room with a TV on a loop. And they play the Who's on First routine. Go on Pandora. You can start an Abbott and Costello comedy channel. You can listen to all their comedy routines. Abbott and Costello are number one for me. Dried chicken without flavor. Thank you for the $7. Once this world problem is over, thank you for calling it that. Some people get it, right? We'll call it the world problem. Once this world problem is over, every wrestling crowd will be massively super over. Let's all stay strong throughout this. And Food Hive with the $2. Again, that was from earlier. Thank you for the support. Let's take one more. We got a whole bunch of them, though. I hate to leave people out. Well, let's do two more. Let's go to, let's see here. We'll start with 502. 502, you're on the air.
Hey, so I'm Oscar. How you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to? He doesn't know.
Mike.
Is this Stone Mexican guy?
No, not Stone.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure.
I wanted to ask, first I just want to say the AEW, in my opinion, and I know they're not, great every single week, but the fact that they are so creative with how to keep the show, just the creative, aspect they have to keep the show interesting is great in my view, because, with the Bubbly Bunch and, just certain stuff could be the heels and faces on, each side. I appreciate how creative that they are doing, how creative they are being. I wish WWE would follow suit, but at the same time, I think that maybe it's a thing. The reason why WWE does not do such things as far as this or that, just have some type of flow from the outside, is because maybe they're trying to follow the CDC or maybe they're not. I don't know. What's your opinion on that, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I think that's probably, I'm going to let you go there, but I think that's probably a fair point. You know, there's certain, I say restrictions. I mean, it's not like the law necessarily in all these places, but, you know, they're under certain restrictions as far as what they can and can't do. And that's just the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. You know, I do think you're going to start to see a lot of different sports leagues or other fights and things. Everyone's going to come to Florida now. They're going to all flood into Florida. And for the sake of the people who live in Florida, you're going to have all these people coming in from out of state, trying to run events and run fights and matches. And hopefully they're not bringing anything in with them. Otherwise, that's going to be very bad for the state of Florida. You got a lot of old people who live in Florida. That could be very bad. I'd love to hear from the people in the state of Florida what they think about all this. If I lived there, I wouldn't necessarily be very happy about that, but that's me. Ryan W., thank you for the $5 here, dropping a late super chat here, a little after 11:30 as we get ready to wrap up here in just a second. But first, we will go to area code 914.
Hey, Solomonza, how you doing tonight? Fellow New Yorker, how you doing, my friend?
I always love talking to a fellow New Yorker.
Yeah, indeed. So, I didn't get a chance to see AEW tonight, but I've heard the results of what happened. A little disappointed about the main event, but what I'm bringing here is more of a thought of what I think they should do for the AEW TNT title tournament. From what it looks like, they're obviously going to go with Cody and Lance, but personally, if they're going to have that match, they can't have it in an empty arena. I understand times are uncertain. We don't know when we're going to get a live audience again. But personally, you can do a lot within a couple months between Lance Archer and Cody Rhodes with building Lance Archer as this monster who comes down, tears up the ring, destroys everything. Have him do more than that. Have him go a little extra on Cody throughout the next couple months, and then hopefully later down the line, we can finally build up to, you know, that main event in front of a live crowd, because we all know that when the sorry, I'm a lot of breath at the moment. Just had to do something busy at the moment.
Uh-oh, shortness of breath. Are you okay?
Yep. Yeah,
okay,
trust me.
Good, all right.
Trust me. I'm good, sorry for that. But, all right, I'm good now.
Here's the thing with that. So I agree. I think it's going to be Cody and Archer. But if you delay it, and you could do that, you could have Darby pull out the upset, because Darby doesn't have a win yet over Cody. Cody's beaten him twice, I think. And have Darby go. You have the big man, little guy. Darby puts up a fight. In the end, he loses. Lance wins the championship. You know, Archer's only had a few matches. He hasn't wrestled any real competitive matches yet. I guess he had the one with Colt Cabana, but that wasn't, you know, super competitive. So maybe you put some more distance between him and Cody before they have their first match. Let him win the title. Let him have a few other, you know, mildly competitive opponents. And then maybe hope, you know, end of the summer, that would be All Out, typically, maybe hopefully in front of an audience. You could do that. What do you do with Cody in the meantime, I guess, would be the other question. If you don't do Cody and Lance, then what does Cody do? Because Cody's got to have someone to face off with. Do you do him and MJF again? I mean, what do you do with Cody?
I mean, the way I see that is maybe like when Lance, let's say Lance gets the title, he beats Darby, and it's not in front of a live crowd, which, yes, you could do that, but what if, like, he still tries to go after Cody? What if he, like, just spends every single week or every other week just making his life a living hell, similar to what MJF did? Because that's what Jake Roberts was building him up to be, just a monster who wants Cody's piece of the pie of AEW.
Yeah,
so you could probably do something like that.
You could, but I mean, how many weeks are they going to make Cody? I mean, I love a good Jake Roberts promo as much as the next guy, but how many weeks or months of Dynamite are you going to open with Jake Roberts promos before it starts to get old? I mean, at some point, he and Cody have to lock up. Is it too long it's April. So if you delay that first match until August, I mean, that's a big, you know, that's a big gap. So you've got to have some kind of good plan to fill time, a good opponent for Cody, and a good opponent or a couple of opponents for Archer to go up against. I'm sure you could probably come up with somebody, but right now that's a big gap. You know, you've been promoting this story and then you're going to make people wait another 5 months. That's asking a lot out of people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess you got a point about that, but I don't want to say it doesn't hurt to try because I can't really try at the moment, but yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I do appreciate you taking my call though.
Sure. No, I appreciate you calling in. It's just, it's a terrible situation for them to be in. There's no perfect answers. I'm bummed that we still haven't gotten the Blood and Guts match. Blood and Guts was shaping up to be awesome. And they keep talking about it. Jericho mentioned it last week. You know, whenever we get to the Blood and Guts, I'm convinced at this point we may never get it. If they're waiting until they get in front of a crowd, who knows? I mean, you know, if it's 9 months from now, are we still going to have the same teams lined up for Blood and Guts? Are the teams going to look totally different? Is somebody going to get injured between now and then? There's so many variables here. The timing was, you know, you were going to do that match in Newark. They had 10,000 tickets sold in New Jersey for that show. That show was going to be, as the cool kids say, that show was going to be lit. And then the world just kind of came to an end, and now who knows? You know, it's as a fan, it sucks. It sucks. I was looking forward to that. All right, this will be the last one here. We'll go to 804, and then we'll wrap things up. 804.
Hey, this is Steven. I'm glad that you enjoyed Better Call Saul earlier. I know you mentioned that earlier, and I had a couple questions about AEW. I was wondering what your theory was on the new recruit for the Dark Order, and do you think that WWE missed out on not using Dustin Rhodes more as he was Goldust?
I mean, as Goldust, I think he kind of done all he could do. I think they could have done a little bit more with him. He got hurt, and then he went away. I think he had shoulder surgery, maybe. So had he not gotten hurt, he was having some of the best matches of his career. You know, he was in there doing, I don't know if he was doing destroyers like he is now, but yeah, he was moving around real well. He could have gotten a solid push, maybe a program pushing him towards like the IC title or US title or something like that. He was never going to be.
I think Velveteen Dream, I thought, would have been a dream match. Pun intended.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, I guess just based on the characters, it could have been. But you know, when he was there, and they could have done a little bit more with him, Velveteen Dream either wasn't there or he was not ready for that spot. I think
now
that he is ready for that spot, even if Dustin would have stuck around, you know, that push would have come and gone. So to me, their paths just missed each other. You know, regardless, they were just going to miss each other. Could they have done more with him a little bit? But you know, he kind of reached the heights, I think, of where he was going to go. He was never going to really go higher than he went, but you could have gotten a like one last program out of him. Yeah, you could have done that.
Yeah, and I mentioned the Dark Order recruit, and also I wanted to mention, I really like the Luke Gallows clip of his Howard Finkel story that you played on the Sound Off recently. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that I love that. I just love that story. He was at a live, what was that, Sam Roberts show or something. He was at a live taping of the Sam Roberts show. Might have been here in New York. And I know he's told that story before, I think on the Talking Shop podcast or whatever. He's told that story before. It's just such a great story. And his Finkel impersonation is awesome. But just to hear him tell that story about Fink, if you didn't hear it, you know, when he was in developmental many, many years ago, he was like 21 years old. Here's a guy who, when he was 21 years old, he looked like he was 41. I mean, it's hard for me to fathom that the guy who played Festus, when he was Festus, he was 25 years old. He didn't look like he was 25 years old. But anyway, when he was in developmental, he got a call from Howard Finkel telling him that he was going to be on the road working with Kane. And it was Howard Finkel who called him, and he was doing the Howard Finkel voice. You know, and I can't replicate everything that he said, but he was doing the Fink voice and saying, you know, you're going to be flying on this airline, and you're going to be taking, you know, budget rent-a-car. He thought it was a joke. It's like, is this really you? It's like, yep. And then before the call ends, you know, Howard goes, and one more thing. He goes, watch out for that choke slam. And then he hangs up because he was working with Kane on the house shows. So, of course, Gallows was a big Howard Finkel fan. He called his buddy up or whatever, who I guess worked for the company. And he was like, is this real? The guy's like, yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Awesome. So that was a special thing, I would imagine, to get that kind of phone call from the Fink. But the way he tells it, I had to play it on the show. Couldn't play it on YouTube, obviously. Well, maybe I could have, but I didn't want to take the chance. But on the download, episode 648, I did embed the audio in there in my Howard Finkel tribute, if you want to go back and listen to it. And anyway, I miss the Fink. Not just because he's gone, but for years now, just having his voice as the ring announcer, I miss the Fink. Anyway, let's take one last look at the poll. Actually, before we do that, Chris Quillman, thank you for the $5. Says, I got a late start watching AEW tonight, but I wanted to make sure you got this before the end of the stream. Well, I did. And Dry Chicken Without Flavor, Mr. Brody Lee should be the face of the Double or Nothing 3 next year as a mob boss persona. He don't look like a mob boss, though. He doesn't look like a... You know what he looks like? He looks like maybe like something out of Ozark. Like he's got like a poppy seed farm that he runs or something. He'd fit into a show like Ozark. I can't picture him on a show like The Sopranos. That just doesn't work. But let's take a look at these polls one last time. Ozark, by the way, on Netflix. Jason Bateman, another recommendation. I've never let you down. AEW 74% up, 26% down. And we take a look at NXT, 69.7% up, 30.3% down. As the police choppers circulate over my head. I don't know if you can hear that or not. They found me. Brother, they found me. Anyway, thank you to everybody who is in the chat lighting it up right now. Love the discussion. Love the fact that you guys join me here each and every Wednesday. I appreciate the hell out of all of you for it. And thank you again for the kind words about the Finkel tribute, the Dark Side of the Ring stuff. Again, hopefully with Vice we'll get this fixed. This could be fixed in 2 seconds if Vice would actually respond to me. They don't seem to care, unfortunately. So it's been really, it's been ruining my week here. But anyway, hopefully it won't happen. I certainly hope it doesn't happen again before this other strike comes off, or else we got big problems. So thank you for all the support. I will see you for episode 649 this Sunday. We'll have a lot to talk about, including Dino Bravo on that show. And then back here again next Wednesday for the final Dynamite stream for the month of April. We got one more left to go here this month. And hopefully you'll all come back and join me for it. Maybe we'll get another person who chimes in with the new Solid Monster Hulkamania Super Chat. And who is that? Who is that in the chat? I just saw somebody in the chat say something. I wanted to give somebody a shout-out, and I forgot who it was. Anyway, I give all of you a shout-out. Have yourselves a good night, stay safe, and I'll see you again on Sunday and again next Wednesday. Take care, guys.